Good afternoon, good morning, good day, depending on where you're listening from. Welcome to Profit and Beauty. Now, this show was created for salon owners who have decided to start running their salons like a business rather than a hustle. The focus of the show is to help salon owners understand the numbers behind their business so that they can grow and make extraordinary profits. Without this knowledge, it's really hard, if not impossible, for your salon to reach its true potential. My name is Desiree Anderson, and I have 19 years' experience as a hairstylist and salon owner. I currently work as a certified public accountant, working mainly with salon owners and hairstylists. My background as a former stylist and salon owner gives me a much better understanding of what our industry professionals need and desire. So if you are a hairstylist or salon owner interested in running your salon like a business, then this show is for you. On the other hand, if you are a hairstylist or salon owner not interested in running your salon like a business, this show may or may not be for you. I just hope you keep listening, and maybe something you hear in one of the episodes will make you decide to turn your craft from a hustle into a business that you can scale and grow. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Profit and Beauty. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about a subject that plagues business owners of all industries and not just the hair industry. I'll be talking about why we as service providers sometimes have difficulty charging our worth. Now, I put the phrase charging our worth in quotes because there's a difference between charging your worth and charging what the market will bear. Also, charging your worth doesn't necessarily mean pulling out a number from your hat and presuming that your services are worth that much simply because you took a class last week and now all of a sudden you feel that you're worth more on Friday than you were on Wednesday. Now, when we set our prices, we still have to consider what customers in our area are willing to pay for our service, what others in our area are charging for the exact same service, also what position we want to maintain in the marketplace. And by position, I mean, do you want to position yourself as the most expensive in the market or the cheapest in the market or somewhere in between the two? You also want to consider how much profit you want to make. Now, I know we as stylists are very passionate about what we do, and we love the idea of making our clients feel good by sprucing up their looks. However, we also need to add value to our own lives. So it's important that we carefully consider what our time is worth after we have considered all of the other variables that go into setting our prices. Now, you may think that your cut and color service is worth $300, but think about it. If no one is willing to pay you that amount, then ultimately you have to restructure your prices and bring them to a point that people are willing to pay. So all of that being said, I'm going to be talking about three reasons why we don't charge our worth and how to overcome it. Okay, so let me first say that people that sell a product, they normally use a formula to come up with how much they're going to charge for that specific item. And the main driver of that formula is what the product costs them plus a specific markup that takes into consideration their other expenses. Now, service providers like us, we don't have the option because we are selling a service that the marketplace has put a value on. So what a client will pay you ultimately depends on how much value they perceive your service is worth. For example, I hate massages. So if for some reason I had to pay for one, I won't pay over a certain amount. You can forget it. Okay, on the other hand, I find a lot of value in exercise. So I'll pay just about anything for a gym membership or even a personal trainer. So it all depends on how much value we see or we perceive in a particular item or a particular service. And usually that's going to determine how much we're willing to pay for that particular service. So that means that when you are looking at your target audience, you have to very carefully pick your target audience. You have to make sure that whatever service that you're offering, whether it be cut and color, whether it be relaxers, whether it be perms, whatever it is that you're offering, you want to make sure that the audience that you're going after they find value in your service and in what you do. That is the only way you're going to get them to pay what you feel is your worth. Outside of that, if you're trying to sell highlights to a person who doesn't wear color, I don't care if you sold it to them for, I don't know, let's say $10, they're not going to be willing to pay it because it's not something that they're interested in. On the other hand, if you found a person who absolutely loves color and can really appreciate a person who is good at what they do, they'll be willing to pay $500 or more for your color service. In addition, if they lived in another state, if you're that good and they find value in that service, they will even fly from another state to you so you can take care of their color needs. So keep that in mind when you are pricing your services and you're trying to figure out what audience is going to be interested in what it is that you're selling. So the first reason we don't charge our worth is lack of confidence. The difference between charging a price that you think is safe and comfortable versus charging a price that you ordinarily would consider full value is your confidence level. Where you live, how much training you have, your years of experience, none of that makes a difference if you don't have the confidence to charge what you think you're worth. Now, after speaking with several salon professionals, my takeaway is that stylists have been programmed to undervalue and undersell what they do. Not all stylists, but the ones that are really good but are still uncomfortable charging more for their services. And I can personally relate to this because when I was a stylist, I definitely undervalued my services. And for different reasons, but one of the reasons was lack of confidence. Now, this was in the beginning. In the beginning, when I first started doing hair, I decided that it would be a good idea for me to go rent a chair, which, you know, hindsight is 20/20. If I were to do it all over again, I would not have done that because I didn't have any experience. So not having any experience is going to equate to not having confidence. So when I first started doing hair, I slashed my prices down to pretty much basement bargain type pricing because I didn't have any confidence. I didn't have the confidence in my ability to produce good hair, and with good reason, because I didn't have that many years experience. So I was just sort of playing around in people's hair. Now, I did a good enough job for them to say thank you and here's your money and possibly rebook. But I noticed years later, when I became much better at what I did, I realized how not so great I was then. And that's one of the reasons why I charged what I did in the beginning, is because I didn't have the confidence level to charge more. Now, I personally had a good reason not to be confident, but I have seen stylists with mad skills undercharge for their services. So to start charging what you're worth, you have to build your confidence. Now, to build your confidence, you have to know why you lack confidence to begin with. Once you've figured that much out, then you have to do whatever it takes to change your mindset. Now, if you lack confidence because you lack experience, then that's a simple fix. Go do whatever you have to do to up your skill level. That may mean shadowing or assisting a seasoned stylist, going to work in a salon with a culture for growth and education, or finding a salon similar to, say, Van Michael's, where their practice is to only hire assistants and sometimes even junior stylists. Now, these junior stylists that they hire work on clients who are okay with getting their hair done by a less experienced stylist in exchange for paying less for the service. And usually the assistants that are hired work their way up to becoming junior stylists. So what all this means is that all senior stylists who work within Van Michael's are promoted from within after hours of free education, which in and of itself is priceless. Now, this particular model allows you to build your confidence while you are learning and getting paid to do exactly what you love. Now, if your lack of confidence is a result of personal lack of confidence, then I suggest you hire a coach to help you build your confidence level. Now, sometimes it's a matter of you having a conversation with yourself to change your mindset. The mind, as we all know, or we should know, is such a powerful thing. If you believe you are good enough, then you are, and you're going to act like it. Your confidence will come through in everything that you do. you will be surprised at how you would then be able to transition out of your current mindset. And that transition will change how you approach your clients, how you approach your business, and how you approach your pricing structure. Now, the second reason why people charge less than they're worth is that they make assumptions about people's financial situation. Now, believe it or not, this is a real reason. Now, you personally may not fall into the group of people that sets your price on this assumption, but there are some people that do. Now, I'm not saying that their entire business model is based on this assumption. However, they feel the need to discount their service if they think that a person or a client doesn't have the money to sustain their prices. And rather than allowing that client to walk out the door, the stylist starts to play the discount wheel of fortune, and they will spin that wheel until they think they have hit that perfect discount amount for that person standing in front of them. Now, don't get me wrong, there may be that rare occasion where you charge your client a sympathy rate, but that should be very, very far and few in between. Now, there's a saying by Grant Cardone, and the saying is, there is no shortage of money on this planet, only a shortage of people thinking big enough. So it sounds like what this quote is saying is that there is always someone out there that can afford what you charge. So as you develop your ideal target market, you should create a profile of a person that is looking for what you have to offer, but most importantly, can also afford your services. Now, not all clients are going to be able to afford your prices, but a good majority will. Think about it. How often do we ourselves complain about money and what we can and cannot afford, but then we turn right around and drop a sizable amount of money on something we want? So it's really more about our priorities and not the cost of a particular product or service. That's the same attitude that our clients have. So when I used to be a stylist, I had clients that treated my service the exact same way they treated all of their monthly bills. Now, I was a bill to them, which meant that barring some event that they could not control, they paid me twice a month, and some clients even paid me four times a month because they came every week. Now, these clients were diehards when it came to getting their hair done. Several of them were professional women who were always in front of a large crowd, or they were always in front of powerful executives. So they made it a priority to always look their best from the top of their head to the bottom of their Gucci shoes. So rather than making assumptions about people's financial situation and therefore building your price around that assumption, the solution would be to target clients that value the service that you offer, and you won't have to worry about spinning that discount wheel and hoping that it lands on an amount that a client is willing to pay. Now, the third reason why people charge less than they are worth is because they're trying to keep up with all the people who charge bottom feeder prices. Now, the beauty industry is one of those industries where people literally are in a fight for the race to the bottom. Now, that's really sad, but it's true. Now, I don't know if this is because our industry is made up of both licensed and unlicensed professionals, and therefore, the licensed professionals are trying to keep up with the prices that the unlicensed folks who work from their home are charging, or whether it's because the beauty industry is so overly saturated with beauty professionals that we all feel the need to compete with prices that we damn near give our services away for free. Now, whatever the reason is, you don't have to be part of that price war mentality. Now, price wars not only devalue your service, but can also lead to you permanently closing down your business because, let's face it, these prices cannot sustain a true business. I don't know where you guys are listening from, but here in Atlanta, there's a salon called The Weave Shop. Now, The Weave Shop single-handedly changed what stylists were charging for weaves. The concept of The Weave Shop was the $50 weave. Now, I'm not going to knock The Weave Shop owner's business model because her service filled a gap that she perceived needed to be filled. And in her own way, she was absolutely right. people flooded to the gates of the weave shop, that she was able to open up three additional locations in the Atlanta area. And on top of that, she started franchising to other business owners in Atlanta. She didn't even stop there, because then she started franchising to business owners in other states. Now, I bring up the weave shop to demonstrate how price wars affected the price of weaves in the Atlanta market. Now, before the weave shop was born into existence, the average price for a weave in Atlanta was between $150 and $200. Weave wearers were used to paying that amount for a weave. Once the weave shop opened, people had the option of paying $50 for a weave, and this changed the public's perception, or rather their perceived value, of that particular service. Now, keep in mind, I'm speaking in general terms, so this doesn't apply to everyone. Now, you would have thought that there was nowhere else to go with the price people charged for weaves, but I was dead wrong. Service providers working from home, and I use the term service providers because I'm not sure if they were licensed stylists. So service providers working from home or offering mobile services started undercutting the $50 price fee. Now, you wouldn't think that anyone will go lower than $50, but from my observation, the price of a full weave bottomed out at $30. Now, I never thought I'd see the day, but there it was in my face. Now, that was a price war that ended in shedding of blood, because it was painful to see where our industry was heading and how low people were willing to go to gain a client. And I honestly won't call these people clients, because anyone that looks for the cheapest price is likely a price shopper, and they're going to follow anyone down the rabbit hole of cheaper prices. So, by the way, for the purpose of full disclosure, I want to let you know that I worked at the weave shop for about 2 months when I was a stylist, because I wanted to understand how the $50 weave model works and how the owner was able to build a million-dollar business charging the prices that she charged. And here is what I observed, including my takeaway as it relates to attempting to compete with price rather than focusing on your worth and the value of your service. Now, let me first start by saying that I don't know what the revenue of the weave shop is today, but at its peak, it brought in a pretty substantial amount of money. Now, I used to do weaves, and it took me at least 4 hours to complete a full head. So you might laugh and say, oh my God, why did it take you so long? Well, because I was slow and I was meticulous. But that's besides the point. At $50 a head, I would have pretty much gone under if my business depended upon weaves and I was only able to do 2 weaves a day, because it took me 4 hours, sometimes 4.5 hours. And I hate to say that it has taken me 5 hours in the past. If I were charging $50 a head, there is no way I would be able to sustain my business. Absolutely no way. At the weave shop, they had a system where one person braided a client's hair while someone else actually sewed the hair in. And rather than using the single tracking method to install the hair, they used the double tracking method, which meant that the client was in and out of the chair in an hour or less. Now, that was how they were able to sustain at such cheap prices. And not only that, I have to also say that even though they were charging $50 a head, there was also some add-ons. So it was almost like an a la carte, where depending upon what you wanted, there was an add-on price. So the $50 really only covered sewing the hair in and maybe just cleaning it up around the edges. So if you got a long weave and you wanted to just clean it up around the ends, then it included cleaning up the hair around the ends. But if you wanted a detailed cut, it was an extra $15. If you wanted the weave to be put in using the single track method rather than a double track method, then there was an extra fee for that as well. And also, if you wanted a full head where a closure was part of the service, then I think it was $85. So the $50 weave really was just for a person that walked in and wanted to just get the head, the weave put in and maybe cleaned up and walk out the door. But you had several people where that's all they wanted. But of course, you also had the ones that wanted additional services, and therefore the price would go from maybe $50, sometimes to $85, and in some cases, even to $120. Now, under normal circumstances, it took about 30 minutes to braid each client and another 60 minutes to sew the hair in. I mean, it was amazing to observe. So basically, a person can literally walk in the door and be out in about an hour and a half. And that's, of course, if there was no wait time. Now, the weave shop hit the $1 million mark or close to it because of two reasons. They were offering a service that people wanted at a price that had value to that particular person. And second, the owner created a system to provide that service to the customer in such a way that they were willing to pay. She was able to scale that system in such a way that the salon was able to increase the number of customers it served on a daily basis. And as such, the salon was able to tremendously increase its total revenue. Now, I say all this to say that I encountered several women who were not happy with the weave shop's system. Some women decided during their first visit that the weave shop wasn't for them, despite the $50 price tag. And they returned to their longtime stylist, where they were paying three or four times more than what the weave shop was charging. While you had other women who went in search of a more traditional salon. So the other women didn't have stylists, so they just came to the weave shop either because they were new in town, they didn't know where to go, or because their stylist didn't do weave, or because they just didn't know where to go. So these particular women, after their experience at the weave shop, they decided that they wanted a more traditional salon. And they knew that they were going to be paying more for the service, but that was okay with them because they valued the personal touch of a more traditional establishment. So you can see that there is a market for both business models. The weave shop, where it was hard to build a personal relationship with a stylist because it wasn't unusual to be passed around between two or three different people before all was said and done. And then there's the traditional salon, where you have personal stylists that you build a relationship with. Now, neither model is better than the other. Neither model is right or wrong, and I'm not knocking either model. There's a place for all of them. It's just a matter of personal preference and perceived value. So rather than feeling the need to compete based on price, you should find a way to go after the client that has decided that the weave shop isn't for her. Even though the prices sound good, she would rather pay more based on the value that she perceives she'll be receiving from a one-on-one relationship with her stylist. Now, before we start complaining about clients not appreciating our worth and therefore not willing to pay us what we think we're worth, there are two concepts that we need to consider. Number one is, we have to better understand what our clients perceive a particular service as a whole is worth to them, no matter who provides the service to them. And second, we have to determine what they perceive the value of that same service is if they receive the service from us in particular, or from you in particular, I should say. Now, it could be something as simple as the customer service they receive from you, the amount of time that they are in the salon before they sit in your chair, or the amount of time it takes you to complete a service. You really don't know what a person values, but people will pay different prices for the exact same service depending upon the value that they perceive comes with it. Now, if you do not find that perfect formula, you will always believe that you are not making as much money as you think you should be making, which comes down to you thinking that people are not paying you what you think you're worth. Remember, when you are setting your prices, always take into account how much money you want to make and then work your way backwards to achieve your financial goal. Ask yourself the question, how many stations do I need in my salon to achieve my financial goals? How much retail do I need to sell to achieve my financial goals? How much does each of my stylists have to make each week or every month for me to reach my financial goals? Once you know the answer to these questions, you can put a plan together to achieve your financial goals. Hire a coach to help you navigate and grow your business, and hire an accountant for financial guidance, tax-saving strategies to ensure profitability, and to help you maximize profitability based on the services you offer, the products your business sells, and also to maximize profitability based on how many stylists work in your salon. Once again, I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to my show. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Desiree Anderson and like my Facebook page at Profit and Beauty. Have a great day, everyone.